You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
He'll transition you, but he doesn't put you out to pasture. He'll say, quit the sin. But are you seeking him? Have you said, God, do you want me to quit this? And have you really honestly waited for an answer? Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith working with patience.
In a world growing darker by the day, do you realize that the only path to true liberation lies in following God's light? Today, Pastor Jeff encourages you to choose God's perfect gift of grace and let it illuminate the shadows cast by the world's chaos. Despite the encroaching darkness, his love shines brighter, offering hope and redemption to all who seek it. Don't be swayed by the prevailing gloom. Instead, anchor your soul to the unshakable promises of God. In his grace, find solace and strength and push through the darkness. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Mark chapter 4 as he continues his message, Good Seed, Good Soil, Good God.
The soil that produces fruit is the honest, sincere, undivided, not perfect, but sincere heart that says, Lord, I'm going to follow you every step of the way. I'm going to get up in the morning and say, you are my Lord. Guide me in your will today. Lead me in the path today. Lord, be my light, be my wisdom, be my counselor, be my philosopher, be my redeemer, be my deliverer, be my healer, be my provider, be my all in all today, Lord. So if you want to be good soil and be fruitful, sell out to him and you'll start producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. You'll start reminding people of Jesus because when you fully follow him, his fruit is produced in you and you will be influential for him because people will want what you got. Now, I see another thing about this heart that was fruitful, this heart that produced, this life that was fruitful and counted for God, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. It says, they keep the word of God. Keep it. Now, words are important, very crucial. And in the Bible, this word keep is taken from a Greek word that means to seize onto something, retain it, hold it tightly, hold it close, guard it, watch over it like you would watch over money in a safe or jewelry in a lockbox. Because you know that what you've got is so valuable, something's going to try to steal it. Keep. Jesus said they, with an honest and a good heart, they keep the word of God. Remember, that first seed was stolen away because they didn't keep it. The second one was uprooted away because it didn't go down deep and they didn't hold tightly to it. The third one was choked away because they let other things come in and they didn't guard it. So you got to guard the word of God in your life. Can I tell you that word is the most valuable thing you've got? It is the pearl of great price, and the enemy is out to steal that word from you if he can. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's no good. And he's after your faith. He's after the word in your life. I don't know how I can express that to you except Jesus said that he was a thief and a murderer and a liar and can't speak one word without it being a lie. Now, let me tell you something about your Christian life, and this is a fact. Right now, the word of God in your life is under scrutiny by and under attack from the enemy of your soul. The devil will always try to steal God's word from your heart. His weapon of choice is the dagger of doubt. If he can get you to doubt it, he can get you to leave it. If he can get you to doubt it, he can get you into sin. Listen carefully to me. He'll try to say to you, how do you know the word of God? Are you sure that's the word of God over your life? Surely God understands that you want to go do this or that, or thus and so. Surely God understands that, and you're just being a little bit too fanatical. You need to not be so churchy and so fanatical and so religious. Live a little. You deserve a break today. And he tries to steal the word of God out of your heart. In the Garden of Eden, this is how we first find him. We see the devil, the first thing out of his mouth was a lie to Eve to steal the word of God from her heart. She had a word. That word was protecting not only her and Adam, but the entire human race. And he said his famous words, "Hath God said? Hath God said?" What was he after? "Eve, I'm going to get you to doubt the word. I want you to lose the word. I want you to put the word aside. I want you to give it up. Hath God said, Eve?" God didn't really mean that. He's holding back on you. He's holding back on you. He doesn't want you to know what he knows. He doesn't want you to be like him. He's stealing from you, Eve. Don't you know that God is not who you think he is, Eve? And with strike after strike, thought after thought, in the theater of her mind, he attacked. All the battles in your life happen between your two ears. In the arena of thought, that's where the battles are waged and where it rages. And finally, she said, "You know what? You've got a point. I do doubt God. I do doubt the word." And she reached out. She picked the fruit of the forbidden tree and she ate. And when she did, she fell into sin. And universal catastrophe befell God's creation. Think about it. In the wilderness, Jesus was attacked 3 times by Satan. And what did he do every time? Each time it was to steal away God's word from his heart. He did his best to make Jesus doubt who he was. Everything he said to him began with an if. "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread." If you be the Son of God, jump, Jesus. The angels will carry you, hold you, whisk you up and protect you. Jesus, if you are, what was he after? Stealing the word of God from his heart. There is a word in you. It's the word of your salvation. There is a word in you. God has given you a word to walk with him, a word to fulfill his destiny, a word he has given you. It's there in the safe of your soul, in the protection of your heart. And the Bible says the one that brought forth fruit kept it, watched over it, guarded it, and would not let the enemy steal it. He'll even say to you, "You really think you're a child of God? If you were a child of God, you wouldn't be acting this way, doing these things." He tries to steal your salvation assurance from you. And Jesus defeated him with the razor-sharp truth of the word of God, "As you will." Paul told the Thessalonians that they must test all things and hold fast, cleave to, cling to, don't let go that which is good. There is a battle, church, and there comes a time when you've got to say, "That's it. You're not going to take the word of God out of my heart and my life." I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm blessed, and you're not stealing that from me. The good soil that brings forth fruit is the heart that holds the word close to its heart, not allowing it to be stolen away. I find really interesting, little Mary, little teenage Mary, little Jewish girl, an angel appears to her. "Hail Mary, you are blessed among women, for that which is going to be conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit." What a word. What a word. Say what? Of the Holy Spirit in me? And you know what it says about little Mary? It's no wonder she was chosen. Luke 2:19 says, she kept all these things in her heart. Don't you know the devil attacked her when she's beginning to grow great with child? You really think you're bringing forth the Son of God? You have lost your mind. You're crazy, girl. What do you mean you're bringing forth the Son of God without ever knowing a man? How do you think you got pregnant? What's the matter with you? How did you start thinking all these crazy things? How did she explain it to mom and dad? How did she explain it to the town? She kept all these things in her heart. She held them close. She said, devil, I got a word, and I'm not going to let it go. You're not going to steal it away. He's born. He begins to grow. The kid never does anything wrong. He never gets whooped. He doesn't need to. There's no sin in his life. But when he's 30, he goes down to the waters and gets baptized, comes out, the Holy Ghost descends upon him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He goes off into the wilderness to fight the devil, comes out in the anointing of the Spirit, begins to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, walk on water. And Mary saw the word come to pass. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's after the word in some of y'all's hearts. He's out to tell you your marriage can't make it. He's out to tell you that you can't make it. He's out to tell you you can't beat a habit in your life. He's out to tell you that the habit or the sin is stronger than God in you. And I'm telling you, don't let him steal the word of God from your heart. Say with me, I've got a word. It's the word of God. I'm going to watch it. Stand over that thing with the sword drawn. Get away from the word in my life. Devil, get away from the word in my life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, don't let him steal it. And then the last thing he said about this good soil. He said, this good soil not only is honest, single-hearted towards God, but this soil is also one that keeps the word, won't let it be stolen. And then he said the last thing about this soil that really produces is it perseveres. The word patience and persevere, same Greek word it's translated from. They bring forth fruit with patience or perseverance. I want to really look at this one. Perseverance means to cheerfully endure under a load. The Christian doesn't just carry a load. He cheerfully endures under a load. You know why? Because you know he's going to make everything work together for your good. You know why you cheerfully endure? Because you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know why you're cheerfully enduring? Because you know that that enemy of yours is only a matter of time before God takes him down. So you don't just carry a load. You cheerfully endure. Now, listen carefully to me. You will never, ever bear fruit without perseverance. It's not going to happen. If there's quit in you, the devil will find it. He'll find it. If you're a quitter, he'll find it. But I got news for you again. The one that lives inside of you is not a quitter. The one that lives inside of you is a finisher. The one that lives inside of you is a conqueror. The one that lives inside of you is a winner. And so you've got at times to persevere. You know that I love cycling. I love cycling. I love cycling more and more. I did 40 miles yesterday, just out there cycling. Now, you know what I've noticed? After about 30 miles, there's a term for cyclists and people that are involved in athletic stuff. It's called hit the wall. After a certain time, you hit the wall. That means you run out of natural strength. And yesterday, I'm riding along enjoying a beautiful day. I mean, woods. I was riding the river out there and just enjoying it. And I've got a little odometer on my bike, and I can watch how far I've gone. And I hit 30 miles, and I'm feeling good. And all of a sudden, this boy hit the wall. I felt my natural strength ebb. And I said, oh, no. I'm starting to feel tired, and I got 10 miles to go to get back to my car. So even though I'm hitting the wall, I got to keep going or I'm stuck in the woods. Now, let me tell you something. In this walk we're in, sometimes you hit the wall. Sometimes you just don't feel you can go another step. But guess what? That's when perseverance kicks in. And you've got to say, though I don't feel that I can do it, I do know that grace is on my life and grace is going to see me through. So even though I've hit the wall, I'm going to keep on going. When you hit the wall, you may not feel a bunch of energy. You may not feel the strength of God. You may not hear angels playing their harp. You just put one foot in front of the other, trusting grace is going to see you through. And it does. And so I just said, man, I got to keep going. I have no choice. I got to keep going. So I started pedaling, and all of a sudden, a second wind came. All of a sudden, energy came out of nowhere. And I sailed that last 10 miles, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, well, I didn't know that I was supposed to have trials so bad that I would hit the wall. Let me tell you what. Peter hit the wall. Paul hit the wall. James hit the wall. Jesus hit the wall. He said, Lord, if there's any way, dear Heavenly Father, to get me out of this, show me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he hit the wall, but he got up again. And you have inside of you a champion that gets up again. You're never going to bear fruit without perseverance. Jesus is the champion that lives inside of you. Listen how Isaiah described him, what he saw Jesus was going to be like. He said, he will not fail. He will not be discouraged till he has established justice. Translated, he will not give up and quit. Luke records, as the time drew near for his return to heaven, he moved steadily onward toward Jerusalem with an iron will. I love that. Steadily onward. Iron will. That's the one that lives inside of you. That's the Jesus that lives inside of you. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't let you quit. He doesn't let you give up. You know, I got to thinking how much we owe to people who have persevered. Without perseverance, we wouldn't have these lights. We wouldn't have air conditioning. Hallelujah. Somebody persevered. We wouldn't have so much of what we have if somebody hadn't persevered. Thomas Edison failed so many times in looking for an incandescent bulb, looking for something that would burn without being consumed, that the throwaways stacked up two stories outside his window. Winston Churchill, Hitler's worst nightmare, said these words, success is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Well, I like that. Noah Webster labored 36 years writing his dictionary, crossing the Atlantic twice to gather material. And I use his dictionary today with you. 36 years on a dictionary. Everybody say with me, boring. Boring, but he was driven and he persevered. One writer of children's books was rejected 23 times by 23 publishers. Now, I publish books. I've written three books with a publisher. And I'm going to tell you something. Rejections hurt. You get that rejection in the mail and you go, uh-oh, and it stings. But I want you to notice this. 23 times he was told, don't like it. It's no good. You don't have any future, don't like the stuff, it's crazy, it won't work, we won't take it, 23 times. The 24th publisher decided to take a chance with him, and his first book sold 6 million copies. You know him as Dr. Seuss. The Coca-Cola Company persevered in their first year. They persevered, selling only 400 bottles of the new drink to the entire nation. But they persevered. Edward Gibbons labored for 24 years to complete his classic, Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, that is a history source for every college. But he was writing it 24 years. He persevered. One young 28-year-old poet received his poems back in the mail with a note from the poetry editor of the Atlantic Monthly saying these words, quote, our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. Robert Frost persevered. Henry Ford filed for bankruptcy twice in the first 3 years in the automobile business. He chose to persevere, and many of you drove a Ford here today. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. You ever thought about that? Boom, boom, boom. There goes the lions, there goes the deer, there goes, and he was the last one in. Christopher Morley said, big shots are only little shots that keep shooting. You want to be a big shot, little shot? Okay, little shot, listen, keep shooting. One day you'll be a big shot. I laughed recently. I read this. I couldn't believe it. A Hollywood couple that had filed for divorce, which almost never happens in Hollywood. They file for divorce, get ready to play your violin, stating that after 6 months of marriage and really trying to make it work, they called it quits. They didn't even have time to get their wedding cleaning back from the cleaners. Come on, 6 months. We need a little bit of perseverance, don't we? Jesus said, it is finished. Not, I almost made it. Paul said, I have finished my course. Not, I couldn't go on. Now, those of you that think about quitting, because some of you in here are thinking about quitting your marriage, quitting your walk with God, quitting your seeking of God, quitting your business, or quitting your ministry, you're thinking about quitting. It's in the back of your mind, and the quits are working on you. Listen carefully. Let me ask you a couple of questions. If you quit, what are you going to quit to? Well, I'm going to, anything's better than this. Listen, what are you going to quit to? Could the finished tape be closer than you think? Here's another question. Do you need to quit or just find another approach? Are you quitting when a break might be all you really need? Do you really want to throw away everything you've put into it, that marriage, that business, defeating that habit? Do you really want to quit when you've got already so much blood, sweat, and tears involved in it? You want to quit now? Now I've got the most important question of all. You ready? Is God calling you to quit? Because if God's not saying to you, quit, you better not quit. And let me tell you what God does not say. He doesn't say quit. The only thing God tells you to quit is sin. He'll transition you, but he doesn't put you out to pasture. He'll say, quit the sin. But are you seeking him? Have you said, God, do you want me to quit this? And have you really honestly waited for an answer? Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith working with patience. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patient perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But the seed that fell on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and keep it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. There's a destiny on your life, every one of you here. There's a destiny from heaven on your life that you would produce fruit, be influential for Jesus, shine, take on his likeness. It's not ever going to happen unless you get a single heart towards him and you keep his word, don't let it be stolen, and you persevere through some trials. I believe if your Sundays don't change your Mondays, Sunday wasn't any good. And so I want today to change tomorrow.
When you conceal your sins, you're only deceiving yourself. Instead, Pastor Jeff encouraged you in today's message to bring your sin into the light and experience true freedom like never before. God sees all, and his grace is waiting to cleanse and renew you. Don't let shame or fear hold you back. Surrender your sins to the Lord and embrace the freedom and restoration he offers. It's time to step out of darkness and into the radiant light of God's love and forgiveness.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jeff Wickwire here from Hardwired, heard on this station. I'm so thrilled to share our latest gift of the month with you, the Stand Strong Men's Paperback Journal. This beautiful journal is a powerful way to keep track of what God speaks to you from day to day. For any donation of over $25, this journal will be yours. Just visit hardwired.org today, click Donate Now, and make your donation to receive this inspiring journal. Thank you for all your support of Hardwired.
Amidst the trials of our culture, it can be hard to keep pressing on. When the world is collapsing all around us, how do we experience strength? In his next message, Pastor Jeff encourages you to let Jesus guide you through the storm and into his kingdom where victory awaits. Don't be deterred by the world. Instead, lean on God's strength and let him lead you to triumph. With Jesus by your side, every obstacle becomes an opportunity for growth. Thanks for taking time to be with us today as we studied God's Word. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Jeff, visit hardwired.org. On behalf of Pastor Jeff and the entire production team, we invite you to join us again right here on Hardwired.